Certainly good to see everyone here this morning. We've got several of our number who are out visiting and traveling to different places, and yet we have some visitors here as well. So we're thankful for your presence here and want you to come back any chance you get. I've entitled the lesson this morning, Are You Sowing Discord Among the Brethren? I'll have all the verses on the PowerPoint this morning. Feel free to follow along in your Bibles. Don't necessarily have this lesson pointing a finger at anyone here this morning, but I think it's a topic that needs to be addressed from time to time because of what God thinks about this. You know, the church was established as a body. That's the way the Bible describes it. We're a union, one with another. We are members one of another. We are to love one another with an earnest love. And yet far too often, some people get involved in doing things that do nothing more than break down that fiber that ties us together. And we can't afford to have that. I want you to look at what the Bible says about this. And we're going to bring this section of verses back up toward the conclusion and make a few more observations about it. But the Bible says in Proverbs 6 and verses 16 through 19, These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. He hates six, and the seventh is an abomination to him. That's how bad he dislikes this. Sowing discord among the brethren, we know what that means, don't we? I mean, let's be real honest. I don't have to really define that too much, but the scriptures that we will use this morning will define it for us. God hates this. And basically, it's nothing more than being a troublemaker. It's being that person who's always starting conflicts and having arguments, and they're always at the center of strife. You know, years ago I was watching a sports show, and they were showing a football team in the preseason camp, and the football coach, he was talking about this one guy who's always committing the penalty. He's always in the middle of the busted play. He's always, you know, there where the trouble is, and the coach starts pointing out his mistakes, and the player basically says, Coach, it's not my fault. And the coach then delivered a classic line, I thought, and one that I've never forgot. He said, You know, it's funny. Nothing's ever your fault, but you're always right there in the middle of it. And that's what a person who sows discord among the brethren is. They'll sit there and tell you, Oh, not me, it's somebody else, or I don't do that, or that's not the reason why I'm doing it. But they're always in the middle of strife. They're always in the middle of where the discord is. They're always in the middle of where the tearing down of the bonds of love are. And over the years, we have seen those who seem to be maybe not good at anything else but starting conflicts. We see those who are at the center of where the strife is. And I want to tell you something. This type of behavior cannot be tolerated in the Lord's church, period. It cannot. And at the risk of being angry, we think about this and understand we can't be angry at the person or the people. But we must understand this. If this is repulsive to God, it therefore must be repulsive to us. It must be one of those things that we have nothing to do with and that we look at and say, that's got to stop. We're going to look at several different things about this type of action, sowing discord, sowing strife among the brethren. And I want you to look and see the warning signs this morning. I want you to put the verses to application in your life and make sure that this isn't you and that it's not going to be you anytime soon down the road. What type of person sows discord? Well, you know, the Bible gives us a description of the different characteristics of a person that sows discord. Now, we could come up with a lot, but let's just let the Bible answer the question for us. Number one, the Bible says a person who sows discord and strife is an angry person. Proverbs 15 and verse 18 says, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." A wrathful man, one who is prone to anger, prone to lose his temper, always angry about something. Proverbs 29 and 22 says, "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression." An angry person, that's one characteristic of someone who's in the middle of strife. They may not even be angry about that situation, but they're angry about something, and therefore they put that anger to use to facilitate discord among the brethren and strife. The wicked. The Bible describes people who do this as wicked. Further up, before we got to the opening section there in Proverbs chapter 6, it talks about this person here. It says in Proverbs 6, verses 12 through 14, "A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart, he deviseth mischief continually, he soweth discord." One commentary said the person that does this would be considered the child of Belial, the follower of evil. You know what naughty means there in the translation? That's exactly what it means, evil and ungodly. It's not like how we use it with our kids, like they were a little naughty today. That's not the way the writers used that word or the way it was translated. This talks about an evil, ungodly person, a wicked man walking with a froward mouth that is perverse, that mouth that is crooked and not full of truth. That's the type of person the Bible says sows discord. It says frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. Proverbs 16 and verse 27 through 28 says, "An ungodly man diggeth up evil, in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." An ungodly man. How many want to be described as an ungodly person? Nobody does. Nobody wants to be described as ungodly. Nobody wants to be described as a froward man, but I want to tell you something. If you're in the middle of the problem and you're sowing discord and strife among your brethren, that's the way God's Word describes you. See, you don't have to point fingers at somebody else calling you that. The Word describes you as that way. Contentious. You know that person who just loves to fight and argue? Now, I have said in times past, I love a good argument, and I really should not say it that way. I don't necessarily like the argument. I like a good discussion. I like a good time we sit around and discuss some things about the Scripture and things like that. But the word argue, I probably shouldn't use that, because that's really not the way we should be, and that's, I don't enjoy that part. I don't like conflict among one another, and the Lord doesn't either. Now, I'm not saying I don't get involved in it sometimes by mistake, but that should not be our goal. We should be able to discuss things and have that, but that's not what the Bible says about this person. This contentious person, the one who always likes to fight, the brawling person, as the lexicons might describe this, you know that person who would rather fight than have peace? They'd rather fight and not get along than have the peace of getting along. Proverbs 26 and 21 says, "As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." It's inevitable. The man who is contentious is going to kindle strife. He's going to start it. So, if you're in the middle of these situations and you are sowing discord and strife among the brethren, look at how the Bible describes you. Angry, wicked, and contentious. I don't know of anybody who puts that on their resumes and say, "I really need this job, and here's not what qualifies me for this, because this is the type of person I am. I'm angry, I'm a wicked person, and I'm contentious. I love to fight." Nobody does that because they are not admirable qualities. And they are certainly not revered with what the Scripture says. How do we go about sowing strife? Well, I think we know probably the answer to that. You know, the greatest invention ever to sow discord is the tongue. That's how it gets started. Tongue gets to flapping. Lips get to moving. And we start talking about things we shouldn't. Not only that, we start using words we shouldn't. And then we're motivated by things that we shouldn't be motivated by. Look at what James chapter 3 and verse 5 says. Even so, the tongue is a little member and a boasteth of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. How many times over the years can you look at some of the biggest problems a congregation may have and trace it back to really something that's not that big, but it got blown totally out of proportion because one person couldn't shut their mouth? A friend of mine, we were talking the other day about things that divide congregations. You know the old jokes about congregation split over the color of the carpet. Congregation split over whether the clock was at the front or the clock was at the back. You know, these type things. And we laugh about those things there. But you know, it's truthful that congregation split over small things like that. Tell me the last congregation you ever heard split because there was murder. Oh, but isn't that the big sin? Isn't that a big one? Isn't that one we'd really stand up and preach against? But I'll tell you what, you let gossip, backbiting, and sowing discord among the brethren get started, and it will divide and conquer a congregation. And that's why we preach about these things. Whether or not they're going on, we preach to warn to make sure they don't go on. Well, when we talk about those that allow the tongue to get away from them and talk about things they shouldn't, there's a couple of categories that the Bible describes these people as, and we know them as persons that might have this description. Busybodies are one group that we see really involved in sowing strife. You know what a busybody is, don't you? You know, that person that can't seem to stay busy doing something of their own, but they're always trifling around and walking around and getting into somebody else's business when they got stuff they ought to be taking care of at home. Look what the Bible says here. It says, "For we hear that there," in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 11, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." Idleness. You know, we have those sayings, you know, the idle mind and the idle hands are the devil's workshop. Well, there's truth to that. Because the Bible says these people, they walk disorderly. They are not working. They are not doing good things. They are busybodies. They are going around sticking their nose where it doesn't belong. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 11 through 13. Now this is talk, it's in a situation here where it's talking about the church taking in the widows and whether or not they should or not in the different situations. But I want you to look at what he talks about here about what happens when these younger widows don't have something to do. In 1 Timothy 5 verse 11 through 13, he says, "But the younger widows refuse." He's saying don't take them in and put them under the care as far as the physical needs and things like that of the church. He said don't do that. "For when they have become to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." You know, you tell little kids, nobody likes a tattletale. You tell little kids, mind your own business. Leave that one alone. Stay away from them. You know, all these types of things. The Bible describes a grown-up is acting this way. And we wonder where children learn the behavior that they get, don't we? He says, they learn to be idle. They don't have anything to do. They wander from house to house. Wonder if I can start something here. I wonder what the new gossip is over here. I'll go over here because they always know. they're tattlers. They tell what they know, and then they're busybodies, and they go try to find out things that aren't their business. They speak things which they ought not. They talk about things that should be kept silent. Ah, the tongue. What a wonderful member it is, isn't it? And it's a battle you will fight till we leave this earth. But it is a battle that you must fight with all your heart. And we must do everything we can to tame the tongue. 1 Peter 4 and verse 15 says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." I enjoy the Bible and the different lists that it has, and the different things that it ties together. Because in our carnal mind, sometimes, you know, like I said earlier, we have the big sins and we have the little sins. And that's wrong. There's just sin. But we think about it that way sometime. And if you go look in the different things that the Bible puts together in a group, it's not necessarily something we would put together in a group. Look at what he says here. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody. Look at those things that are put together. How many of us would put busybody in there with murder and thievery? But God does. God thinks upon the acts of a busybody and things like that just in the same light as the murderer, the thief, and the evildoer. Now there's another group that we need to talk about, and that's talebearers. Talebearers are very, very instrumental in getting that strife going. Talebearers are always seem to be at the center where there's discord among the brethren and there's no love. The love is being torn down. I want you to look at what Proverbs 11:13 says. "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." Proverbs 20:19, "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips." Revealing secrets. You know, you need to understand something right now. If there is someone that you know has a tendency to reveal secrets, be very careful what you tell them. Because the odds are, while they're coming to you to tell somebody else's secrets, they may go right back to that other person and tell them your secrets. And the best way to keep a secret is don't tell anybody. Now there are times, I'm not saying we should never converse. There are times we need to discuss things. There are times that I may have to come to one of my brothers and sisters and say, "Look, I am really having a problem with this right here. I mean, this sin is, man, it's tough. And I'm struggling with it." And I go to that brother or that sister in confidence. And that's that love that binds us, that we should be able to do that. We should be practicing that. The problem is you need to be careful who you go to on that, because some people have a tendency to take that and go tell somebody else. I grew up in a very small town. My mom taught school, and I went to school there. And just to let you know how small it was, there were 200 kids from kindergarten through senior class total. It didn't take long for the buses to run in the morning. Now, do you think there was anything in that school or that town that my mom didn't hear about if I was in the middle of it? But see, here's the thing. Nobody went to tell her. Nobody went to say, "Barry did this." You know what they did? They just went and asked her if she knew. And for some reason, we disguise our words and we change the presentation and we somehow think that it's not the same as being a busybody and a tattler. And it's not the same as being a talebearer. "Oh, well, I didn't tell her. I just asked her if she knew Barry got in trouble today." What's the difference? It's talking about something you should be quiet about. It's releasing information that you shouldn't talk about. There's another category here I want to take a moment to talk about. Striving about words to no profit. You ever know that person that just loves to argue about this one little word? I'll get there in a minute.
Daryl smiled.
I got a story about that here in a minute. That person who just, they've got that one thing that they've studied about and they know it better than anybody else. And if they don't, everybody else doesn't agree with them and say it the way they want it said, they're going to pin them to the wall and they're going to teach them about it and set them straight. The Bible talks about striving about words to no profit. 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 through 5, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Knowing nothing, doting about questions and strifes of words. And what does that result in? Envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Things that really benefit and uplift the church, huh? We want to sit around and correct everybody about punctuation. We want to sit around and correct everybody about pronunciation. We want to pin somebody to the wall because they use the word ain't in a lesson. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 23 says, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes." Foolish and unlearned questions. Years ago, there was a guy in the church that would sit down and argue with you 9 ways to Sunday about where Jesus was from the time he was baptized until he started his ministry. He'd talk all day about it and argue with you about it. And the bottom line is, what difference does it make? Milton, Darrell, and myself and someone else from the congregation met another fellow up here one day and spent 2 hours listening to this person rant, rail, complain, and argue, have strife over words and things like this. You know what it was over? It was over whether or not we can use the word church. You know why? Because it wasn't in the original text. Folks, I want to tell you something. That right there is a classic case of somebody who would rather tear down than build up. That's a classic case of somebody striving about words to no profit, and that's only going to result in strife. And that's not the type of love that God wants flowing through a congregation and through His church. And we're not going to have it here. We're just not. Why do people sow discord? What's the motivation behind this? You know, what gets people going and so excited to behave in such a manner that relationships are destroyed? You know, in Jude chapter 16, the writer here is speaking of ungodly men. He's talking about these men that creep in unawares, and their effort is to distort the truth and to cause conflict. I want you to look at what he says here, Jude verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Walking after their own lust. And this is a key component to that one who sows strife and sows discord. It's a common trait. They refuse to submit to God and rein in their own wants and their own desires and their own lusts. Proverbs 28:25 says, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." Proud heart, walking after their own lust. Proverbs 13:10 says, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." And this is what it comes down to, isn't it? It's about pride. That's what fuels this. That's what stirs up someone to be involved with sowing strife and discord. Strife gets started when you start putting down others in order to try to make yourself feel better. Strife and discord get started when you're busy tattling, being a busybody, striving about words to no profit. When you're this angry, wicked, contentious person who goes about speaking these things, flapping the gums, in an effort to tear down an individual. If you refuse to humble yourself to God, if you refuse to submit to His will, I can guarantee you that you will be involved in sin. Because that's the very essence of obedience to God, is submitting to Him. And letting go of the selfish desires and the things that we want. The very nature of refusing to submit to His word and His will is because there is a desire to do what you want when you want. Bottom line. People don't want to obey the gospel because they got some sin they want to keep doing. Now, they won't say it like that. But they want to live their life the way they want to. Well, I can tell you something. This pride and this sin is what is behind those who sow discord and strife among the brethren. Now, we've said all that. What are the remedies? How do you fix this? You know, one of the best ways to solve a problem is not have the problem to begin with. You know, if you're the sower of this discord, there's a couple of things that you can do. Rein your pride in. Put forth a very constant and diligent effort to build up rather than tear down. Proverbs 17 and 14 says, "The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with." Leave off contention before it be meddled with. Ask yourself some questions before you get in the middle of these things. Tell yourself every day, not everything's my business. You know, maybe that's not a big issue. Maybe that's not worth fighting over. That stuff right there is not for public hearing, and I'm not going to let it come out of my lips. Rein your pride in, and don't let it get started. Be vigilant to keep your tongue in check. Proverbs 10 and 19, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." You just don't have to talk all the time. We just don't. Sometimes it's okay to be quiet. But what if you're the receiver? You ever had somebody tell you something against your will? And then they start talking on this story and they get going on down the road and you're just waving the red flags trying to stop, and they are going to tell you. They're going to make sure you hear it. Well, the receiver has some responsibility in this, and I believe the receiver has a lot of power in making sure this type of behavior, this sowing discord among the brethren, doesn't get going. Proverbs 20 and verse 19, we've already read this verse, but we'll look at the last half. It says, "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips." Meddle not with him. You know, sometimes there are just those people that the fruit bears record to who they are and what they do. Don't spend a lot of time with them. You don't have the right to be mean, ugly, or anything like that, but you don't have to spend all day with them either. Find ways to excuse yourself from situations where you're going to be maybe pinned down, where they're going to start talking about stuff. 1 Timothy 6 and 5, another passage we've already read. But look at what it says. "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself." This is talking about those men who strive about words to no profit. "From such withdraw thyself." You know something? You may just have to stay away from that person. You may just have to not be around them. Little kid comes to the teacher on the playground crying and whining because little Johnny over there is always doing this, doing that. Teacher says, "Well, stay away from him." Yeah, but that's kind of the way we are too. Folks, don't spend a lot of time with these people. Proverbs 26 and 20 says, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." I think there's a lot of responsibility in this this verse on the talebearer, that person, individual, but I also can see some responsibility about the listener not providing the wood for the fire. Don't lend a listening ear. Don't provide the wood for the fire. Shut them down before they get started. Ask some questions. Somebody says, oh, I'm going to tell you something, but you can't tell anybody. You need to jump up and throw off the red flags and the bells and the whistles and stop right there and start asking questions. Wait. Now, you're going to tell me something here, and you're telling it, but you don't want me to tell it. Now, let's analyze that for a minute. Okay, second of all, is this information about you or is it about somebody else? Because maybe it's that person coming to you saying, look, I messed up, I need help, but I want to talk to you in confidence. You can't go tell anybody else this. That's okay. But when somebody says, well, it's about so-and-so and I heard, but you need to know, I think, whoa, I don't need to know. Because now we got past caring and went right into meddling and gossip. We went straight into sticking our nose to where it doesn't belong. Ask some more questions. Do you really think you need to be telling this? Is this going to benefit the congregation, the church, the body of Christ by you telling this? I'm going to go back to Proverbs 6 and verse 16 through 19 for a minute. Now verse 16 talks about, it says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to Him. To get a better understanding of this, you kind of have to dig a little bit about how the Hebrews, the Jewish writers wrote and different things like that. They had a way of writing, and here was a method that they used, and it was trying to influence this seventh thing listed. It says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. That's like saying the seventh is worse than all these others. Now, I know in our mind we know sin is sin and all that, but they are trying to emphasize in the way they wrote this how much God hates sowing strife. They use the word an abomination. You know what that is? You know, an abomination to God is something that is morally disgusting, reprehensible. It repulses Him. It is sickening to Him. It goes way past just kind of don't like it. And it should be that way to us. I think sin should be that way in general to us, and we don't think about sin that way near as strong as we should. You know, sowing strife is an attack on the church. It's the opposite of love. Sowing strife tears down individuals. It breaks up congregations. Milton, would you get up and when we leave here after a while and dismiss and we're standing around, would you just walk across the room and punch Daryl right in the mouth for no reason at all? Why, no. We wouldn't do that. Why, that's an assault. We couldn't do it. You want me to tell you what you're doing when you sow discord? You're spiritually assaulting your brother and sister in Christ. That's what you're doing. I want you to consider the following verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1 through 3 says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there are among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? God has called us to walk a higher plane, to not walk among the men of the earth in behavior that they have. He has called us to live a different life. And Paul writes here to the church at Corinth and he says, you're carnal. He says you're carnal because you've got this envy, this strife, and this divisions. And I have a lot of other things I'd love to teach you, but I can't. because you're not spiritual, you're carnal. Galatians 5 and verse 14 through 15 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another." Sowing discord is essentially assaulting your brethren. Is it devouring them? Do you know what the word devour means? It means to eat up and consume. And then consuming one another means to use up and destroy there. That's what you're trying to do when you're sowing strife. Romans 13, verse 8 through 10 says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." Sowing discord is working ill toward your neighbor, because you're tearing them down. That behavior, whether you want to admit to it, whether it was your design or not, it's ripping apart the body. It's tearing up the members of the body of Christ. That's what sowing discord does. But you know, we love one another, right? Well, I'm going to tell you what, if we love one another, we're not going to work ill toward each other. We are called to love. We are called to care. And in a way and manner that confounds the people outside in the world. We are called to love in such a way that they look at it and shake their head and say, "I don't get it." It's to be something that is foreign to them. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." You see, that's the way we're supposed to treat one another. An unfeigned love, that means a sincere love, one without hypocrisy. We are to love one another fervently. That means intensely. With a burning desire for the benefit of our fellow Christians. But I can tell you one thing, sowing discord doesn't have anything to do with that, does it? You see, when the Bible talks about us being as members one of another, we're to take care of one another. You're not going to catch me at my house trying to figure out a way to rip off my hand from my arm. I'm sorry. Now, I do a lot of stuff that don't make sense, but that ain't going to be one of them. Why would I want to take some of you who are members of the body, the same body that I'm a part of, and want to break them up, and want to tear them up, and want to beat them down? There's no love in that. We want to build each other up. We want to lift each other up. We want that body to get stronger. We want the body to grow. But if we're involved with these type of behaviors and using these methods and tearing down the body, sowing discord, sowing strife, there's not going to be any growth, whether it be spiritually among us or in number. You know, we've always said that a visitor can walk into a congregation, and if there is strife among the brethren, they sense it. They smell it. Even before weekend, maybe sometimes. And I don't give this lesson this morning because we have this problem. In fact, I think we have just the opposite right now. In fact, I had a couple people tell me a while back that they said they love coming because of how much everybody cared. So I want you to understand, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody here this morning, but you know, we need to warn too. You know, we need to warn each other and be on the lookout to make sure we don't get in this rut and don't have these behaviors. Because it's going to tear down the church and it's going to tear up the congregation. I don't want to see any of y'all leave. I hope y'all don't want to see me leave. I want to see you every time we come. Because I get built up by seeing all of you. I'm strengthened to know that somebody else is in the battle. That's the type of love we should have. You know, Jesus Christ gives the invitation for you to be a part of one of the greatest institutions ever, the body of Christ. And I want to tell you, we talked about strife this morning, and if you're not a part of the body of Christ, if you have not obeyed the gospel and had your sins cleansed and washed, then you have strife between you and God. There is a barrier between you and God, but you know it doesn't have to be that way. That barrier can be broken down, and the sacrifice of Christ made it possible. And we obey the gospel through baptism and have those sins cleansed and washed away. And we offer you that opportunity this morning. But if you're here this morning and a member of the body, if you've had problems with these things, we want to pray with you, because this can be fixed. This is not one of those things that has to go on, and it's not something that can't be handled. It can be fixed. We want to pray with you, and we want to help you to seek that repentance that's needed if somebody's involved in this behavior. If we can help somebody of either class, come take a seat on the front pew while we stand and sing.